all flesh shall see the salvation of God. So to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to see. On you. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be
regard this as a divine appointment, and that the Lord moves within our hearts to bring us so that we can hear from him and receive that manna that he gives to us. Praise God. Well, I have a title for our teaching today, and I'm calling this, What Cry is COVID-19 Producing? What cry is COVID-19 producing? Heavenly Father, help each of us to hear your word in the heart, and in return, our hearts producing that faith that pleases you. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. What cry is COVID-19 producing? That is the question. And I find myself not able to go very far until we look at what Jesus said with regard to the last days. I know I've referred to this quite a lot, but I want us again just to familiarize ourselves with this in Matthew 24 and verse 7. Matthew 24 and verse 7. Actually, we'll go from verse 6, because I think that's also applicable as well. So verse 6 and 7 of Matthew 24. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. I think we can all be absolutely positive that we are seeing an increase in all of these things that Jesus said we are to look at and discern for the last days. You cannot simply discern this through the flesh. You cannot simply discern this by listening to the news and the various reports that we hear. This has to be revealed by the Spirit. That is where we discern. That is where we test a thing. And Jesus said quite clearly that these things will happen. Now, it's interesting that in verse 8 he says, and these are the beginning of sorrows. That word sorrow in the Greek actually describes birth pangs when a woman is in labour. And it means that as she comes to the birth, so it gets intense. The contractions become more and more. And that is what it means there. And we are seeing a building up now of things beginning to get worse. It's like a domino effect. And that is what we are as Christians to discern. Not simply about wars or earthquakes or whatever it is. They are all on the increase. There is trouble. There are wars around the world. And they're going to get worse. We're probably going to see very shortly another major war arising. There is much that's being said, and there are a lot who are having dreams and prophecies that there is going to be a war, possibly with Russia and China to the US. There is much coming out now with regard to this. But again, we have to be in prayer and we wait for all these things. But what we're beginning to see is an increase. It is escalating. It is getting worse. And we're going to see things with regard to pestilences and diseases and so on. They're going to get worse, and they are getting worse. So let's bear this in mind as we talk about this further. And remember, our title is, What Cry is COVID-19 Producing? You see, the nature of COVID is what Jesus said in Matthew 7. Now, it's interesting that God sent diseases and plagues. For example, I'm reminded over Egypt under Moses, who was called of God to release the children of Israel who were in bondage under Pharaoh. And Pharaoh, being stubborn of heart and proud, God sent 10 plagues to inflict Egypt through Moses. Just to remind us quickly what these were, the water was turned into blood. Then there was a plague of frogs. Then there was lice over the land. Then God sent disease over the livestock. Then they got boils. Then hailstones were sent that caused a lot of damage. Then there was the locust. And then darkness for 3 days over the land. And finally, Pharaoh, he said, okay, you can go and worship God. And that was done by the killing of the firstborn. All of that you can read in Exodus 7. It's all there. So we're reminded that there are plagues, that God can and does work in this way. Now, the scriptures are absolutely clear that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he doesn't change. Even though we're under a new covenant, a covenant of grace, love, and mercy, but the workings of God do not change. Remember, God is looking from us as to what cries are coming with regard to COVID-19. That is the question we're answering today. Now, in the New Testament, I'm reminded of the book of Revelation, where we read of the 7 bowls of God's wrath that are poured on the earth. Let's remind ourselves what are there in those judgments. They are foul sores on those who worship the beast and who take the mark. So they are going to be plagued with sores. Grotesque things are going to attack them, those that take this mark. And we're also reminded that the sea turns to blood, killing all in the sea. I mean, that is some judgment. And the rivers are going to turn to blood. The sun is going to turn 7 times hotter. This is all what's going to happen with those bowls that are outpoured. And then darkness over the land. Then there's going to be destruction of the river Euphrates, which is going to unleash horrible demonic forces. So there are more demons to be released in these last days, as if there is not enough now plaguing mankind. and there are going to be earthquakes, and finally, before the Lord Jesus comes to return and rule on the earth, the overthrow of Babylon itself, and Mystery Babylon, and all the commerce of man, all industry, all banking, everything, it will all fall. The monetary system will fall. Everything. And man will wail at the sight of it. Now this is the God of the New Testament. He doesn't change. That is the point. We know that God brought judgment on Israel, God's chosen. Very quickly in Leviticus 26 and verse 25. Leviticus 26 and verse 25. I will bring a sword against you that will execute the vengeance of the covenant. When you are gathered together within your cities, I will send pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. So there, God allowed Israel to be judged, and to be judged with pestilence, because the nature of God's people, sadly, was stiff-necked. They were proud. You see, human nature doesn't change. And sadly, even in the house of God, it doesn't change. So we need to take these warnings very seriously. I'm reminded of King David when he disobeyed the God and he numbered the children of Israel. He counted them, which was forbidden to do. And God sent a plague that wiped out 70,000 men. So there again was a chastening of what King David done by disobeying God. And then let's turn to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 24. And verses 10 to 17, and here we'll read what David did. And David's heart condemned him after he had numbered the people. So David said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I have done. But now I pray, O Lord, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. So there, David was always honest in his confession. And he always knew the one he had hurt, he had sinned against, and that was God. There was always that humility, that bowing of the knee in his confession. And that's why the Bible says that David had a heart after God. And that is what God is wanting to hear, the cries out of his church, that we need to stand in the gap, that we have sinned. We have allowed this. We have compromised. We have not walked as we should before Almighty God. There is nothing wrong with honesty before God. That is actually what he wants. And this is what this man is crying out before God. He says, I have done very foolishly. We have all done very foolishly before Almighty God. Now, when David arose in the morning, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, go and tell David, thus says the Lord, I offer you three things. Choose one of them for yourselves, that I may do it to you. So Gad came to David and told him, and he said to him, shall 7 years of famine come to you in your land, or shall you flee 3 months before your enemies while they pursue you? Or shall there be 3 days plague in the land? Now consider and see what answer I should take back to him who sent me. And David said to Gad, I am in great distress. Please let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. But do not let me fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel from the morning till the appointed time, from Dan to Beersheba, 70,000 men and people died. One of the things that God will not do in his mercy, he will not let the house of God, he will not let us fall into the hand of man. And the reason being is because it is about God's glory. But it is pretty awesome what God will permit and allow. That is the point. So we're beginning to understand now, aren't we, what God is wanting to hear out of his people. You see, God sent plagues against Judah. There are many that are debating today whether COVID is judgment. I believe it's certainly akin to biblical plagues seen in the Bible. And yet you've got such division in the house of God. You've got preachers and theologians. They can't discern. They're not hearing. Why are they confused? Why are we confused? It's because we don't know what cry that comes out of us as we pray and seek God. We are still fickled. We're still confused. We don't always know what spirit we are of. And this is what God wants to get our attention in the house of God. Because God's called us to pray. He says, my house is a house of prayer. And we need to know how to pray. We need to hear what the Spirit is saying. We need to discern and test the times that we live in. But the problem is we're still so caught up in our own lives and our own things and what we're doing. We don't have this heart and burden for God's house as we should have. So that we can stand in the gap. That is the point. And I believe that God has allowed COVID simply to start to chasten the house of God. That's what I'm sensing strongly, that the Lord is impressing to me, which is awesome. You see, we've replaced God's word to man's word. And we listen too much to what man is saying, man's report over all of this. But we need to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. That is the point. We have to be spirit taught in these last days. Flesh and blood cannot reveal these things. That's why it says in John, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And we need to know how to pray. We need to be led by the Spirit. And the only way God can do this is to allow sometimes these plagues to chasten us. To get us to that place. So the question is then, what cry is COVID producing? What cry is God hearing from his people, the house of God? That is the question. Well, I was reminded of a mother with her infant, her child. A mother has that inner ability, that instinct, that she can understand the cries of her child. She knows when it's a cry for comfort, because she comforts her infant to protect it from insecurity and fear. Because if that's not ministered in those early stages of one's life and development, then you are so subject to rejection and depression in later years. Or the cry of hunger. She knows that cry when the child needs to be fed. And so she will feed that child. The same as God feeds us with that manna. And then there's that cry of just being tired. She knows that cry. And so she ministers to that child to help that child to sleep, or rock the child to sleep, and so on. These are all what a mother instinctively does with her child. And she knows those cries. And that is what God wants from us. He wants to hear those cries from us so that he can start to minister to the house of God. You see, God hears these cries, and these cries bring change. Then, and often these are expressed in our prayers and in our intercessions. That do we know what cry is coming from us with regard to this awful plague? And we're hearing of another flu epidemic possibly coming out of China that they don't have any vaccine or anything for. That's on the news at the moment. There may be quite a few of these plagues that'll come. And don't rely on vaccines. They take many, many, many years to develop, and testing. And this one they're trying to produce it almost overnight. We don't know what is in it, and we should be very discerning. The same with our food that we eat. We want to know what's in that. So we're faced with many things, many decisions. What are we going to do? Are we going to trust in the arm of the flesh, or are we going to trust in the mercies of God? But we have to do it his way. That is the point. And he's allowing these things to get these right cries from us as we turn with our whole heart and being to God. At times we offer up this lip service. Our heart is not always involved. And so God has to get our attention, and he knows how to do it, because God is purging the house of God. He's shaking the house of God. Judgment begins first in the house of God, the word of God says. And that is why he's spiritually circumcising the sons of Levi. This is a circumcision for us. This isn't going to destroy us or burn us up, but it's going to get us to bow the knee in humility before God. That is the point. I believe this COVID is to bring deliverance and forgiveness in the house of God. Why am I stressing this? We need to know the nature and spirit that we live in these days. So much in Christendom. You know it, but let's turn to it. I've referred to this many times in the book of Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. This is the lukewarm church, the Laodicean. This spirit is rife today in Christendom. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. So God opens up there that he is faithful, he is true, he is the beginning, he is the creator of all things, he doesn't change. So he's revealing to this lukewarm church his sovereignty, right there. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. So that's what he thinks about it, when you're neither one thing or the other. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind and naked. That certainly describes the Western world Christianity, where we haven't a clue of persecution. We haven't a clue what it is to be thrown into prison for our faith and belief in Jesus. We don't suffer like some of our brothers and sisters do. Separated from family, put in prison, tortured. We haven't a clue in the West of any of these things. And God says that you're miserable, poor, blind and naked, because we have never considered these things. We have never thanked God and praised God for the comparative peace and blessing that we have as Christians. We've not been faithful praying for our brothers and sisters who are persecuted, who are in prison, who are tortured. We've not always taken these things seriously, because we live good lives. We have food always on the table. We're in good health. One of these things that COVID-19 is doing, those that are in poor health don't really stand a chance of recovery. That's what's so awful about this. He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. So God presents to us the cross that we too are to take up. He presents to us the trials. He's going to refine us and he's going to produce that gold within us, that you may be rich, and wear garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. So he says, because if you go on like this, I'll reveal the nakedness, the emptiness of those who call themselves believers and followers and disciples of Christ. And he says, you need your eyes opened, that you can see. What does he mean? To see spiritually, to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, to walk in humility before him. We still at times are so arrogant, so proud, so independent of God. And that's where he says your eyes need opening. Because otherwise you walk naked before me. In other words, we're not clothed with the robes of righteousness. We haven't got those garments on that will make us acceptable for the marriage feast. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. So he says there has to be a zealousness about it. In other words, you take it seriously. You're not going to let it fester. You're not going to leave it. You yourself are going to do something about it. You don't look to anyone else. You don't look to the ministry. You don't look to the pastor. I will do it. I will bow the knee. I will supplicate. I will ask for forgiveness and mercy over the house of God. That's what it means. But we too often look to others to do this. And God won't let that be. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. There's fellowship. That's what we're craving for at the end of the day as Christians. That fellowship, that oneness with God that can only suffice. And that's what he says he will do with this lukewarm church. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So he's bringing us in to his royal presence. This lukewarm church, this neither hot nor cold, which we were. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The Spirit of God is speaking loud and clear, and I believe he's using COVID in which to do it. That is why he's listening for those right cries to come out of us. Pride is the huge problem that paralyzes the house of God. And God says he resists the proud, but gives grace, mercy to the humble. And that is one of the biggest spiritual plagues at present in God's house. It is a huge problem. And God knows how to humble the remnant who will bow that knee and will let go. And let go of this pride, this independence of spirit, and abandon themselves totally, completely upon him. Because he's the only one who can save us. Any of your dependence upon the arm of the flesh will fail. And that is a thus saith the Lord. It will. He's working so that we are totally abandoned completely upon him, because he's the only one that can save us. So the question I raise then, brothers and sisters, is COVID delivering me? Is this going to be a means of deliverance for me? Or is it going to be judgment? That's the question. You see, getting closer to the Lord is what he wants of us. That we have that prayer life and time. That we are in his word. Receiving that manna, that spiritual food, to help us to overcome. Am I responding to the seasons and the times that Jesus spoke of? Or am I still caught up just in religious works all the time? Now, we're not to sit back and do nothing. That's not what I'm saying. But everything has to stem by being led by the Spirit. The Spirit is getting us to walk in the Spirit now. It's growing up time now. Maturing in the Spirit. Am I learning spiritual warfare? Because God has given us those weapons in which to fight, which is not flesh and blood. They are spiritual, against powers and principalities. I've given much teaching over the years on that, and yet so much of Christendom is totally blinded and incapable of being able to go into spiritual warfare. They don't know what their weapons are. That is the tragedy. And yet, that is what the Christian church, the remnant, is being brought into. The last final onslaught, the final warfare the church is being prepared for against the powers of darkness. And yet she is asleep, a head in the sand, doesn't want to know. It's time that we wake up. The wise virgins have got to get that extra vessel of oil, the oil of anointing, for the last days. Because the other five, and they're Christian, because they're virgin, they're asleep. That's one of the major parables of the last day, the warning to the church. It is time to wake up, and COVID-19 is a wake-up call for the church. Because God wants to hear the right cries coming from us. The cries of mercy over the world. The cries over your family, your neighbor, your husband, your wife, or your son, your daughter, who doesn't know the Lord yet. He's looking for those cries that God will have mercy. Because we've got more plagues and diseases coming. This is nothing yet to what is coming on the earth. And look how this has paralyzed the world. This is ushered in the new world order. It's a different world now. It will never be the same anymore. Economies are reeling around the world. It will take years to try and overcome all of this economically. So these are all the signs Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24:7. So are we awake to this? Are we going to let the Spirit of God work in us to revive us, to produce that right cry that God is wanting to hear from his people in these last days? Is this going to be a means of deliverance for me? Am I going to let this be a deliverance of changing this heart of stone to a heart of flesh? Am I going to let this be a means of making me totally abandoned upon God, dependent now totally on him and not the arm of the flesh? These are the questions we have to ask ourselves, brothers and sisters. Because a lot of medical science is going to fail in a lot of all that's coming. Are we trusting in the atonement and the blood of Jesus and all the promises of God's word that by his stripes I was healed at Calvary? Are these promises going to possess us and take hold of our lives? Because this is God's gift. This word that we hold is God's gift to us. And yet we ignore it. We're so lukewarm to it and so on. This word has to be prayed into our hearts. Faith to believe comes from the heart. It's not in the head. We make much about the parable of the sower. It's all there. This word has to be sown into our hearts if we're to stand in these last days, because we're going to see many fall. And judgment begins first in the house of God, as he says. And we're seeing many falling, going back, compromising, thinking that the grass is greener the other side. It isn't. God's called us to be overcomers, to stand, to endure. But he's going to use this to bring us to the end of ourselves, where we've got no substitutes. It's only me and God. It's less of trusting in man and the arm of the flesh, and more trusting in Almighty God. He's not going to let us down. He loves us with an everlasting love. And that's why God speaks to us like he does. It is the love of God. But the love of God has to warn. The love of God has to be honest. The love of God can't lie. We do this, but God doesn't do it. What does it say in Matthew 14, verse 22, as we bring this to a conclusion? Matthew 14 and verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. That is what Jesus did. He knew where the power of God lied. He knew where his deliverance, his overcoming, his obedience, finally to the cross, it lay. It's himself and God. He withdrew and spent that time with the Lord. And we note that he withdrew very often, right in a situation where probably, you know, it was important that he was there or he would minister. But he was so attuned and so obedient to his Father that he did only that which was revealed to him. We see this also in Luke 5, verse 16. Luke 5 and verse 16. Jesus, the son of Luke 5, verse 16. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. That is where we get these heart changes. That is where God is going to hear the true cries that are coming from us. That's why I've called this teaching today, What Cry is COVID-19 Producing? It's those who have that quality time with God that stand aside and go into the presence of Almighty God. Your prayers will prevail. Your prayers will be heard. If you are hearing what the Spirit is saying and you are yielding to the Spirit, what he requires and wants of us, then you are going to pray those right cries and prayers that COVID-19 is to produce. And you are going to find yourself praying mercy over the house of God, that God will rid this lukewarmness that's neither hot nor cold over God's people. You will hear those cries. You will be praying as the Spirit leads and guides you. I believe for us, that is why God is allowing. That is why this is like it is. And let's make no bones about it. COVID is a plague. I call it exactly what it is. They've got these fancy words, pandemic and so on. But I call it what the Bible calls it. You need to read Hebrew and Greek to understand these words. You see, they have much more of a meaning. I believe the nature of COVID is exactly what Jesus said it will be in the last days. We are seeing it, brothers and sisters. It's escalating. It's getting worse and worse. Not only that, but we're going to sadly see wars, these rumours of wars and so on. It's not going to get better. There's not going to be this utopia world that politicians are telling you that they are going to do and give and giving all these false promises. I believe the world is being prepared. It's being staged, ready for the Antichrist to come forward. Because man doesn't have the answer. Politicians do not have the answer. People are waking up to the fact that it's nothing but lies they're being fed. People are worried about their finances, their income, their investments. They're worried about their job. They're worried about sickness and all the things that are going on, and it's getting worse and worse. And all of this is the stage being set for this leader that is going to come, who's going to convince the world that he is the Messiah who's come. And then when he goes in and demands to be worshipped as this false Messiah in this new temple that the Jews are ready to build, and it's not a holy temple at all, it's a defiled one, then their eyes will be opened that they have been deceived. You see, the world is not listening to the word of God, it listens to man's word. It is not repenting, it is not bowing the knee, it is proud, it is arrogant, it has the devil's problem. And that is why they will receive him with open arms and will be deceived. And if it were possible, even the very elect in the house of God could be deceived. How we need to be on our guard. We need to be discerning and watching. And that will only come as we let the Spirit of God have his way in our lives. So the question as I finish now is, what cry is COVID-19 producing? Heavenly Father, these are times in which we have to be serious. They're times of mourning. They're times we've heard where we need to be zealous, repent, and come before you with clean hands and a pure heart. It is a time, Father, where we need to hear the word of God, a time to be together in fellowship and unity, a time, Father, where we bow the knee so that you can hear the right cries coming from the house of God. Father, help each of us, Lord. You know in the natural it's not easy to overcome. This world has so much vices. It's like a mirage. It deceives. You know the spirit of this age, but Lord, we look to the victory that was wrought at Calvary when you rose again and triumphed over all things. The spirit of this age, this world, and above all, the enemy. And so, Father, may our lives, our walk, our confession, our whole being be always found in Christ Jesus. For greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
Up my eyes to the hills, from whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you not slumber. Oh, neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord, he is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. Oh.